He's asking God the Father, he says the Father of glory, actually. He says, oh Lord, give them by the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation into what they really have. And that is my prayer for all of us this morning.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. Pastor Bill continues his study today from the Epistle of Ephesians. The message today is titled, To Those Who Believe. Now, Pastor.
You know, we've been covering the incredible first prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, we've covered the first part of his prayer. Actually, there's two prayers in Ephesians, but we're just on number one, if you will. But we're going to conclude Paul's prayer. Now, Paul is praying for those, it's addressed to those that are blessed. We're blessed, aren't we? Amen. Not only to the Ephesians, but that was a circular letter, as we've learned as we've been studying through this great epistle. Matter of fact, this epistle has been called the greatest piece of writing in the history of all the world. And I tell you what, it is so wonderful, it's so deep, because Paul's prayer, I tell you, I don't even really know how to even teach it, to be honest with you. I depend totally upon the Lord. And I look at this prayer of Paul's, and last week we covered half of it. Now we're going to conclude it. And remember, it's given, prayed out to those that are blessed and chosen, redeemed and sealed and adopted by God. Amen? And so what's important to remember is that Paul is not asking God to give the Ephesians and us something that we do not have. He's asking God the Father. He says the Father of glory, actually. He says, oh Lord, give them by the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation into what they really have. And that is my prayer for all of us this morning. Let's read, beginning in verse 19, these few verses that we're going to cover this morning. Paul is praying, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Is that the way you pray when you pray? What an incredible prayer of Paul. Last time we were together, we learned about knowing God. Not knowing God like Theology 101, where we know all the facts about God. But the word knowledge that Paul uses, I think is in verse 16 or 17, means exact, certain, sure. It means knowledge that is intimate, where you know God personally, not just a bunch of facts about God, amen? That you know he's always with you and how much that he loves you. Now we're going to go into the deepest area of Paul's prayer. And he wants us to know, to be revealed to us who do not know, the power of God that is toward us and the power of God that is working in us. I'll tell you, this may be the most important prayer or a sermon that I teach today. No humor in the second service, I see. Let me read from the Amplified version in verse 19. It says, in the Amplified, it says, so that you know, as Paul prays now, so that you know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power in and for you, or for us who believe. Say that word, believe. That is the most important word in our text this morning, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty power. So Paul prays, not only for the church at Ephesus, it was a circular letter, remember, to us as well. He prays, listen, I want every believer, everybody that names the name of the Lord, to know the exceeding greatness of his immeasurable, surpassing, you can't measure the power of God, amen, that is working in us and for us. You know, listen, before we get into that, let's talk about God's power. First of all, God's power is supernatural power, isn't it? It doesn't come from this planet. Do you understand? He created this world that we live in. When you walk out the door in just a few hours or 3-4 hours before Luby closes this afternoon, you're going to walk out onto the earth that God created, the power of God created. Man, listen, I start thinking about that we live on a planet that God just simply created. The Bible says in John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's what I call power. Amen? You want to hear how great our Father's power is? Listen to this scripture. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, meaning the spoken word of God. Now listen carefully. So that the things which are seen, when you leave here today, just look at all the things that are seen. He says, so the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Now listen to me. God called into existence which had no existence. There was absolutely nothing. Think about that for a minute. Absolutely nothing. And what did God do? He simply spoke. And there it was. Now that is what I call power that cannot be measured. Listen, have you ever met anyone that created something out of nothing? No, no person in the world, no scientist, no smart person. Donald Trump, he doesn't know either, but he'll take credit for it. No, I'm joking. I just happened to use him, and I hope he doesn't hear it was me. Listen, think about this just for a moment. No one in the world knows how to make something from nothing. Only God. Only God. That kind of power, I think, oh, Lord, we live in a world that was literally just spoken into existence by our Father. The Bible says in Psalm 33:9, it says, for God spoke, it was done. Now, that is power. Imagine for a moment, here you are at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. There is nothing but darkness all over the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit is hovering, and God just simply spoke. Light be. That's what the Hebrew would say. We say, let there be light, but it's light be, light was. Amen? That is incredible, unbelievable power. The Bible says in Colossians 1:17, it says, and he, meaning Jesus, was before all things, and in him, listen carefully, in him all things consist. That word consist in the Greek means literally are held together. Everything in this universe, everything, whatever is out there, whatever is here, is held together by the creator and the sustainer of it all. His name is Jesus Christ. He holds it all together. Think about that. The word consist in the Greek there is in present tense, which means our present tense continuous. So Jesus literally just holds everything together right now. If he released, what in the world would happen? So you say, well, Bill, how does he do that? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus upholds everything by the word of his power. That is unbelievable. Now listen, right this minute, God is guiding the entire universe, our earth, to its final conclusion. Do you understand? That's power. Right now, Jesus is maintaining everything that there is, everything that is unknown, unseen, everything that is seen, Jesus maintains it. He holds it together. Think about that. I start thinking today, this morning, I said, man, only God can do that. That's God's power. Now listen, God created everything, and God is the only one who can destroy what he created. Man can't. Now, Bill, you just stepped way over into science. You're in a lot of trouble. Really? Okay, let's take the forest fires in California, wherever they are now. Everything that's burned up, is it gone? No. The molecular structure, I mean, there may not be a home. The ashes may be disintegrating into the soil, but they're still here. Does that make sense? Everything is still here, even though you don't see it. See, you can't destroy what God has created. Do you understand? Because Jesus is holding it all together. And that means he's holding you together. See, his power is for you and his power is for me. Have you ever just studied out the word omnipotent? It just simply means God is all-powerful. No one on earth, no one in heaven can claim that except our great God. Someone put it this way about omnipotence, defining it. He said this, "There is nothing outside God which is possible in itself." That is an incredible statement. Nothing outside of God is possible in itself. See, God is the creator. He created everything by his incredible power. Amen? Job said this. He was talking to the Lord in Job 42:1. Job said to the Lord, he says, "Listen, oh Lord, I know that you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." Now that's the power of God. There's not one person, no one, angels, demons, it doesn't matter who it is, governments, Republican, Democrat, okay? No one can frustrate the power of God. No one can stop the plan of God, and no one can stop the purpose of God. He is God. He's omnipotent. He's everlasting. He is our Father, and his power is for you. And I start thinking about, oh, Lord, that is unbelievable. Now look at Ephesians about this power again, 1:19. Paul prays again, let me read it to you, that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis, or God's power. And who's it toward? It's toward us. And it's also working in us. But here's the key. Those who what? Say it again. Believe. That's the key to this message this morning. To those who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So listen, what is Paul praying? He's praying that you, the Ephesians, and us as well, that you may know with all of your heart that you have that revelation that the direction of all his surpassing, unbelievable, unlimited power is directed right toward you and is also working in you. Amen? And I say, oh, Lord, this is unbelievable. But it's directed to those who believe. Did you notice the words that Paul uses? He uses dunamis, God's power, the same dunamis that he fills us with in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's his power, that dunamis. And then he goes and he uses another word here. He uses the word working. And that word there is energeo. We get our word energy. So God's divine energy is working with us. And this type of energy is the energy of God that overcomes, that conquers, that stops any resistance against his power. No one can stand up against God. Amen? And then what's the next one? Mighty power. That's kratos in the Greek. And that word mighty power means manifested powers, manifested strength, where you see it. You see the miracles of God. Now listen, why did Paul use nouns and verbs and all these different descriptions of God's power? Because he could not define it. And neither can you. No one can define the dimensions, the measure, the unsurpassing measure of the power of our Father. And I think, oh, Lord, you are absolutely incredible. Listen, it's not very important really to maybe explain all the power of God because we can't. But here's what God wants and what the Holy Spirit wants in Paul's prayer. He wants that power revealed in your mind and hearts so you will know to experience the power of God. We can all experience God's power, and we all have experienced God's power in our life. And the church today in this 21st century, this new decade that we're in, loved one, listen, we need to know with all of our hearts that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen? As it says in Revelation 19, he reigns. He's reigning right this minute. And God alone is the only one that can claim that he is the Lord God omnipotent. Now listen, all of God's power directed now toward you. Have you ever gotten upset at yourself and say, why was I just defeated? You know, we must have a revelation of God's power. See, it's one thing to know it. I can write it down. God has power. God's given me this power. God's power is working toward me and in me. Okay. But do you really believe that? See, it has to get from here to your heart. Amen. The Bible says this about being defeated. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God who always leads us in one continual victory. It doesn't say it's going to be a lot of fun, but he says, I'm leading you in victory. Wherever you are following to, I'm leading you in victory. See, the problem is our flesh. Flesh is powerful. Amen? It lies. See, what it'll do, it'll steal the power of God from us. We need today more than ever be like David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, when he cried out in Psalm 56, I don't know what it is, 14, 15, it's in the Bible. He said this, sing, let us sing of the power of God. That's what we need to do. The church needs to be singing that right now. And he says in verse 19 again, Paul is praying. Now watch this. He says that you may know that it be revealed to you, that you get it inside your heart. What is the exceeding greatness of his power, not only toward us, but working in us. Now, there's this word. To those who what? Believe. Do you believe God's word? It's very important. It's so vital today to believe God's word, loved one. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:5, Paul tells the church at Corinth, he says, listen, your faith should not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. The wisdom of man is foolishness unto God. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Can man's wisdom make you a new creation? No. Can it remove your past? No, it can't do any of those things. It can't make you righteous. It can't make you holy. That's man's wisdom. But God's power can do anything. Matter of fact, God's power has made you holy and blameless in his sight. Amen? Yes, that's the power of the living God. Christian, listen, the power, that unsurpassing, unbelievable power of God that, when it talks about in the Bible, that destroyed him who had the power over death, that is the devil. That power, think about that. The Bible says in Timothy that God abolished death. Now, meaning rendered it inoperative for the believer. Yes, we're all going to die, okay? But now we don't face death the way death or what death really is, because Jesus tasted death for every one of us. So now when we close our eyes in sleep to go home, to be absent from this crummy body is to be present with God. Amen? Oh, forever and ever and ever. Yeah, listen, that is the power of God. The same power, loved one, that delivered us, rescued us from the powers of darkness and translated or conveyed us over in the kingdom of his dear son. The same power, the power of God that made us a brand new creation, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, but then he made us alive. Listen to me now. That is the same power that God has directed towards you and that is working in you right this minute. Oh, may that be a revelation in our hearts. Listen, God is working right now, whether you feel it or not. Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, meaning God, who began a good work, that's energy, God's energy, who began a good work in you, will finish it or bring it to completion to the very day of Christ Jesus. Listen, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. John, the apostle of love, he writes to us in 1 John 4:4, and he says this, greater is he that is in you, the power of God, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, the Holy Spirit of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. That same power is working in you right this minute. Hold your place. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Hold your place, though. It says there, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and here it comes, according to the what? The power that works where? That works in us. The power that works in us to be glorious, as in the church by Jesus Christ. And look at this, for all generations. If we went over to chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says to us as them as well, it says, what does it say? Finally, brethren, be strong in the flesh. Be strong in your own flesh. No, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Man, the devil wants you to fight him in your wisdom, in the flesh, in your own strength. Oh, that's crazy. We can only walk in the power of God and win against the powers of darkness, loved one. Now, we understand now the direction of God's exceeding, abundant, unbelievable, unlimited, you cannot measure, his power towards you, the believer, and the power that's working in us. So we move now from direction to the demonstration, the greatest demonstration of his power. Look at verse 20. It says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen, it was the supernatural power of God that raised Jesus after 3 days in the tomb from the dead. Amen? It was the supernatural power of God when Jesus ascended. Remember in Acts 1:11, there he goes. They see him. They watch him ascend into the heaven and so forth. It was the same supernatural power that not only the ascension, but that seated him at the right hand of God, the place of the highest authority and the greatest honor in all of creation. That's our Lord, loved one. Now listen, the resurrection power and the ascension power that I just mentioned, that God mentioned in his word, is the exact same power that God says is toward you, but is also working in you right now. And then it says in verse 21, not just above all, but far above all principality, that means rule, far above all power, that means any authority, far above all might, that's any kind of power, far above all dominion, that means any kind of rule, lordship or whatnot, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Loved one, that's what I call power. Listen, at this very minute, Jesus our Lord is seated at the right hand of God, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen? He is seated right there, right now in heaven. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he is over everything. This world is not, you know, people say the world's falling apart. No, the world is falling right into place, loved one. Amen? God is the God of history. Man doesn't rule the world. No, God rules the world. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, he reigns far above every title, every earthly title. It doesn't matter. He is above all, everything. And that's our Savior, loved one. The Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus in Acts 4:12, there is not given unto heaven another name by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is over this world, and he's going to be over the world that is coming. Amen? The Bible says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says that God has exalted him and given him the name, not a name, the name, which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth, they're going to confess with their tongue, and they're going to bow their knee. Amen? And they're going to say this, Jesus is Lord. Everything. Think about it. He's our Savior, and everything that is anything, they're going to say, yes, you are the Lord. And I think, oh, what kind of power is that? And then when he was seated, it says in the next verse in 22 that God put all things under Jesus's feet. That word, all things under his feet, literally means absolute subjection. Jesus rules, loved one. Now, we know if you read over into, what was it, 1 Corinthians 15, 25, 26, 27, and 28, right in that area, it's going to talk about all things being under his feet, but not yet. Well, that's because it won't happen, all of it, even though it, in actuality it's happened, but we haven't seen it because death is still death. You know what I mean? Death is going to be at the millennial reign of Christ, a thousand-year reign. We're going to rule and reign with him. And then at the end of that, what are we going to see? We're going to see death cast into hell, the devil cast into the hell. You know what I'm saying? And then he's going to deliver the kingdom over to the Father. What a glorious thing. Loved one, listen. Jesus, it says, he put all things under his feet. And I love this. And gave Jesus, gave him to be head over all things to the church. That's us, loved one. The church. Jesus is the sole head of all the universe, all creation, and Jesus is the sole supreme head of the church. I love what God is doing. Listen, all things to the church. There are many headless churches in America. Did you know that? Oh, they're organized. But like Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, yeah, you have a name that you're alive, but you're not, you're dead. And there's a lot of headless Christians in America going in different directions. They're not really following the Lord, but they call themselves believers. Listen, we're the church, amen? Oh, and I start thinking about all that God is doing. When we get to chapter 2, we're going to learn that the church is a building. When we get to chapter 3, we're going to learn that the church is a family. When we get to chapter 5, we're going to learn that the church is a bride. But right here in chapter 1, we're going to learn in this next verse that the church is his body.
Pastor Bill will complete this message in our next broadcast, and we do hope to see you once again. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.